I must say good morning, church family.
Good morning.
And to everyone else who are the sound of my voice, greetings to one and all. I must say, it's always a delight for me to be in remembrance service like this, even like what we had this morning. I hope that you was really a part of this, remembrance service. Praise the Lord. I quote like the Apostle Paul from the Corinthians. He said, "For I'm here to present to you the gospel I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen by Peter, he was seen by the 12, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. He was seen by James, who is the half-brother of Jesus. He was seen by all the apostles. And Paul said, last of all, he was seen by me. These are eyewitnesses, evidence of the resurrected Christ. In the court of law, they might say this is substantial evidence. In theology, we say it is infallible proof that Christ is risen indeed. Praise the Lord. Christ is risen indeed. That's why the apostle continues, Paul says in the book of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." This morning, I will turn with me in the book of Matthew. That's where my main text will be coming from. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. John 11, 25 and 26 says, "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And the question is, believeth thou this? The question he asks, believeth thou this? Shall we pray? Blessed God and Father, we thank you very much for a blessed privilege to gather a time like this to preach the gospel of salvation, the only way that man can come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. We pray, God, that you may empower your servant. We pray, O God, that you may give your people, the people, ears to hear, a heart to receive as the word go forth. In Jesus' precious name. Today, the title for my message is, what must I do to be saved? Simple. Or how to be saved and know it. But today is also Palm Sunday. I did not come with a Palm Sunday message, but I will briefly let you know what Palm Sunday is all about. The true meaning of Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is known as Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, riding on a colt, a young donkey. And while the people of Jerusalem, they came in great numbers with great excitement, spreading palm branches, spreading clothes on the street of Jerusalem, singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King." They was welcoming Jesus as King. So they out there shouting Hosanna, spreading palm branches and waving the palm, because at that time I think there was no flags in Jerusalem. If it's in America, we'll be waving an American flag. Grenada will be raising a Grenadian flag. If you're in Jamaica and the president coming, you will be raising the Jamaican flag. But here they was waving the palm branches to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ as King. But in God's time, he had a different agenda. It was God appointed time for Jesus to go to the cross. It was God's time that he could be recognized as the appointed anointed one, as Messiah, Redeemer, as Savior. That's why Jesus came in Jerusalem at that time. If you remind yourself, for 3.5 years, Jesus was ministering, going to Jerusalem every feast. For every feast, Jesus was going to Jerusalem. Nobody recognized him in that way. But this time he came to the public riding on a donkey. And they recognized that the Messiah, is coming. And they welcoming him as King. Welcoming him as the one who will take the throne of Caesar's. So Jesus said to them, when they say, here comes the King, Hosanna to the King, Jesus said to them, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know that everyone was lost. The whole world was lost in sin. So 4 days after the shout, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, they begin to shout, away with him. Away with him, crucify him, crucify him. Did you see that? Only 4 days after they shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, they begin to shout, away with him, crucify him. And you know something? Yes, they did crucify him. They crucify him, they nail him to the cross. Jesus Christ hung on that cross. He bled on the cross. He suffered on the cross. They pierced a sword in his side while on the cross. He drank a bitter cup for us on that cross. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, even while on that cross. Jesus shouted, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, on the cross, which means, my God, why have thou forsaken me? He shouted this on the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished," while on the cross. Jesus bowed his head and died on the cross. It was for me and for you. Jesus died on the cross. It was for the sins of the world that Jesus died on the cross. But they did not leave him on the cross. They take him down from the cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, he rose from the dead by the power of God's resurrection. I said hallelujah. And the third day he rose again from the dead by the power of God's resurrection. And he's ascended into heaven. He's sitting on God's right hand making intercession. And he shall come again to receive those who believe on him for salvation. That's the true story about Palm Sunday. It was the day that God recognized it is time for the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross. It was God, the fullness of God time. It was just God time for Jesus to go to the cross. That was the appointed time for Jesus to die on the cross, to make an atonement for sin. That's why the time Jesus went to the cross, to make an atonement for sin. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, for God, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Can you put 2 Corinthians 5, 21 on the board for me, please? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did you see that? That's the word of God. That's the word of God. The word of God tells us that all our sin was laid upon him and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why he went to the cross. That's the reason why he gave his life. All our sin was laid upon him. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah 53, verse 6. Or even let's say Isaiah 53, let's say from verse 3. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Next verse, surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Next verse, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by this stripe we are healed. Praise the Lord. By this stripe, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we are healed. Healed from what? We are able to be healed from our sin. Praise the Lord. But as I told you, I did not have a Palm Sunday message. My message is how to be saved and know it. The word save here means to be rescued and secure in salvation from the penalty of sin. And salvation is the object that saves. Salvation comes from God. Jesus Christ is our salvation to save us from the penalty of sin, which is spiritual death, separation from God, through Adam's sin imputation. That's what passed on us. Spiritual death, separation from God. We get this through Adam's sin imputation. And he said here, everyone needs salvation from the penalty of this sin. Everyone, the whole world needs salvation from the penalty of this sin. The penalty of sin, I said, is death. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The payment for sin is death, but the gift, God's gift, is eternal life. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passeth upon all men, for that all have sinned. This death passed upon all men, in that because of Adam, all have sinned. No one is out of it. He said all. The word all mean all. He said here, my question to you now, how do you get salvation to be saved from that penalty of sin? It's a question I'm asking you now. How do you get salvation to be saved from the penalty of sin? Can you work for it? Can you purchase it? Can you earn it? No. My answer is no. It's a gift from God to be received. That's what it is. A gift from God, you have to receive it. In Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, it's a gift from God. It's not by your sweat, not by your effort, not by your payment. It's a gift from God, so no one should boast about it. No one should boast. Grace is God's free gift, given in the person of Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's what it is. So the only way to have this gift, you must receive the gift. That's the only way. To have this gift, you must receive it. Nobody can bring it for you. You yourself have to receive this gift yourself if you want to have everlasting life. I give you an example. Let's say this bottle, I have it, call it $1,000. And I said, look, I tell you what is my name, and my name is Norman. And anybody who know my name would receive this gift of $1,000. You already know my name, I tell you my name. Now, you all know my name, you all say my name, but if you does not come and receive this $1,000, you don't get it. It's not yours. This $1,000 could stay here for till Christmas. And unless you receive this gift, is not your gift. You get it? You believe it? I could put it here. And if you never come to receive this gift, it would not be your gift. You have to receive it for you to have it. Praise the Lord. In John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. But in the earlier part he says, he came unto his own. You remember I told you that in Jerusalem, when Jesus came to make himself known, they did not receive him. They said, away with him. They rejected him. He came unto his own. His own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the Son of God. As many as receive him. Some parts say, whosoever is same like as many. He didn't say as all. He would like all to receive him. But whosoever are as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. When you trust in Christ alone to save you from the penalty of sin, God imputes Christ's righteousness in you. You are now saved, sealed, and secure. Do you believe it? Oh, you want me to say it again? When you trust in Christ alone to save you from the penalty of sin, God imputes Christ's righteousness in you. You are now pronounced saved, sealed, and secure. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's how we do it. So, he said here, in Romans 4 and verse 5. Romans 4 and verse 5. But to him that walketh not, but believe on him that justify the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Whose faith? Him that does not believe, but trusteth. His faith is counted for righteousness. Someone said that faith works like life. God gives you life. You do whatever you want with your life. You choose what you want with your life, but you are accountable for what choice you make with your life. Amen? You are accountable for whatever choice you make with your life. And say, God has given everyone a measure of faith, and the time will come, you have to exercise your faith. Take for example, like Abraham. Abraham is a perfect example. Abraham was an idol worshiper in the land of Ur, in the Chaldeans. And God appeared to Abraham. And one day God going to appear, he go reveal himself to you if you have not yet trusted the Lord. God revealed himself to Abraham. And Abraham applied faith. He believed God. Abraham believed God. And he believed God's promise. Abraham left the left Ur, followed God to the promise. He was beginning to look for the city by faith. He was looking for the city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He left behind everything but faith in God. And one day God is going to, the Spirit of God will appear to someone, and you have to decide whether you would apply your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must, you see the word must? Let's say the word must together. He that cometh to God,
must.
I want to hear it from you. He that cometh to God,
must.
Yes, you must believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe. There is no way else. He that cometh to God, you must believe that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, saving faith is when God's Holy Spirit convicts the human heart to trust Christ for salvation through his death and resurrection. Saving faith is the faith that changes the human heart from darkness to light, from death to life, no longer a slave to sin, but freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. All things become new. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, Jesus said to him, he cannot enter nor see the kingdom of God. He told him, he that is born of flesh is flesh. He that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. In Acts 16:31, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believing means to put your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you. That's the belief it is talking about here. Put your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you. To save you from what? To save you from the penalty of sin, which is death. Now, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, can I see Romans chapter 10, verse 9? He said, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Yes. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Continue. Thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with thy heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. With thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. For verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever, what does the scripture says? Anybody. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For the scripture said, anybody who believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jews nor Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all upon him. Upon anyone that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever, what he said again, let's read this verse together. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, anybody call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you shall be saved. How, verse 14, he said, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? If you does not believe, you would not call upon him. Simple as that. You does not believe, you would not call upon him. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Nobody can live here this morning and say you have not heard. Everybody here, you are going to hear right now. You can't live here and say that you have not heard. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm the preacher this morning. I'm preaching to you and you are hearing what the word of God is saying. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. As Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? Verse 17. So then, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it is so imperative, it's so important. When Jesus was leaving, before he went, he told the disciples, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. It is very imperative, very important that the gospel of salvation be preached to the end of the earth, that people could hear the word of God so that they can apply faith in what they hear. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This morning I trust, as you have heard the word of God, you may apply your heart unto understanding. Trust in Jesus Christ before it's too late. Trust in Jesus Christ before time comes to eternity. I trust that this word may play a great part in your heart, too, for his name and mercy's sake. Amen.